Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Welcome back, true crime fans, to an all-new season of True Crime Never Sleeps. This season, we're taking you on a chilling journey into some of the most fascinating ghost towns from around the world. These places aren't just abandoned, they're filled with stories of greed, betrayal, and violence that have left them frozen in time. From lawless frontier towns in the American West, to eerie, desolate cities abandoned overnight. Each episode, we'll dive deep into the dark histories and unsolved mysteries that haunt these forgotten places. So buckle up for a season where we uncover the sinister secrets hidden in the ruins, and explore what happens when towns meet untimely ends. If you love true crime and ghost stories, you won't want to miss a single episode. Welcome to our new season of True Crime Never Sleeps, where the past is never as dead as it seems. Bodie, California isn't your typical ghost town. It's a place where the past remains unsettlingly alive. Defined by violence, greed, and unsolved mysteries, known as one of the Wild West's most notorious towns, Bodie wasn't just built on gold, it was built on the blood and desperation of those who sought fortune at any cost. During its peak in the late 1800s, Bodie was a lawless frontier town where murder, robbery, and betrayal were part of daily life. This was a place where people vanished without a trace, where justice was often meted out by mob rule, and where even children learned to fear the shadows. Today, Bodie stands preserved in a state of arrested decay, allowing visitors to walk the same streets where some of the West's darkest stories unfolded. In tonight's episode, we'll dive into the violent history that Bodie has tried to bury and reveal why the echoes of its sinister past continue to haunt its empty buildings. Bodie's story begins with a man named William S. Bodie, who discovered gold in these remote hills of the eastern Sierra Nevada in 1859. However, Bodie didn't live to see the town that would bear his name grow into a bustling hub of lawlessness. He died just a year later in a snowstorm, his body reportedly frozen in the unforgiving landscape. Initially, Bodie was little more than a small mining camp with a few hopeful prospectors. 1876, the discovery of a massive gold vein changed everything. The Standard Company struck it rich, setting off a gold rush that brought thousands of fortune seekers to this remote and inhospitable corner of California. By 1879, Bodie's population had exploded to nearly 10,000 people, including miners, business owners, gamblers, prostitutes, and a fair share of criminals. The town became notorious for its violence and moral depravity, so much so that it earned the nickname Bad Man from Bodie. Bodie had all the hallmarks of a Wild West boomtown, but its growth was unusually fast and its reputation unusually dark. With a lack of established law enforcement, Bodie quickly descended into chaos. Saloons, brothels, and gambling dens lined the streets, attracting a rough crowd that wasn't afraid to settle disputes with bullets. Bodie was infamous for its frequent and violent altercations. Disputes over mining claims could escalate into full-blown shootouts. Barroom brawls often ended in death. No organized police force, vigilante justice became the norm. There were reports of lynchings, mob attacks, and public executions, as residents took the law into their own hands. Some estimates suggest that a man was killed in Bodie every day during its peak years. The atmosphere of violence and unpredictability made Bodie a magnet for outlaws and a nightmare for anyone trying to make an honest living. People lived in constant fear, knowing that the wrong word or a simple glance could be enough to spark deadly violence. Tension in Bodie was palpable, as gold fever drove people to extreme measures. The desire for wealth turned neighbors into enemies and strangers into threats. The town's rapid growth brought wealth, but it also brought a dark side of human nature, as greed and desperation festered in the crowded saloons and narrow alleyways. Bodie was a place where the American dream of fortune collided with the harsh reality of survival, creating a volatile mix that fueled its reputation as one of the West's deadliest towns. By the early 1880s, Bodie's gold reserves began to dwindle. The richest veins were exhausted, and many of the mining companies started to shut down operations or move elsewhere. The population declined as quickly as it had grown, leaving behind a smaller, more desperate community. As legitimate business opportunities dried up, crime became even more rampant. The town's remaining residents, including those who were too stubborn or too broke to leave, as well as outlaw and criminals who saw opportunity in Bodhi's descent into chaos. The fires of 1892 and 1932 were devastating blows to Bodhi, but they also fueled rumors of conspiracy and foul play. In 1892, a fire broke out in the business district, destroying dozens of buildings, including several saloons and the Bodhi Bank. Some speculated that the fire had been deliberately set, perhaps as a means of collecting insurance money, or as an act of revenge. However, the lack of reliable law enforcement meant that no thorough investigation was ever conducted. The true cause of the fire remained a mystery. The 1932 fire, which destroyed nearly 90% of the remaining town, was widely believed to have been started by a young boy playing with matches. But there was also whispers that someone had set the fire intentionally to cover up a crime or erase evidence of illegal activities. The Great Depression in the 1930s exacerbated Bodhi's decline. With few jobs and little money, those who remained faced extreme poverty. By 1942, only a handful of residents were left, and the town was officially abandoned. The final years of Bodhi were marked by a haunting silence, as empty buildings and forgotten belongings served as reminders of the lives that had been lived and lost in this brutal town. There are countless stories of people who disappeared from Bodhi, never to be seen again. Some are believed to have died in the wilderness, while others are thought to have met darker fates at the hands of those seeking to settle old scores. Today, the remnants of Bodhi stand as silent witnesses to a bygone era of violence, greed, and mystery. The town is filled with unanswered questions. Who set the fires that destroyed so much of Bodhi? What happened to those who vanished without a trace? And what secrets still lie buried beneath its crumbling buildings? Bodhi's decline was not just a story of economic failure, but also one of moral collapse, as a town that had thrived on crime and corruption finally succumbed to its own darkness. In 1962, the state of California recognized the historical significance of Bodhi and designated it as a state historic park. But instead of restoring the town to its former glory, officials opted for a preservation method known as arrested decay. This approach aimed to keep Bodhi exactly as it was found, with no restoration or reconstruction, allowing nature to take its course while preserving the town's authenticity. Today, Bodhi stands as a snapshot of frozen in time, with every building and artifact left untouched, offering a raw and unfiltered glimpse into its lawless past. Arrested decay means that Bodhi's structures are stabilized, but not repaired. Broken windows remain shattered, doors are left hanging off their hinges, and the remnants of violent events are preserved exactly as they were. The idea is to maintain Bodhi's atmosphere of abandonment and decay so that visitors can experience the town as it was. All its imperfections and scars, the jail, for example, still holds the echoes of prisoners who awaited their fates behind its thick stone walls. The gallows, once used to hang those deemed guilty by mob rule, stands as a grim reminder of the town's brutal justice system. The interiors of Bodhi's buildings are equally haunting. Inside the saloons, dusty tables and broken bottles bear witness to the brawls and gunfights that once filled these spaces with chaos. The walls are marked by bullet holes, and some floors still bear dark stains that are said to be from blood, spilled in violent confrontations.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
And the former residents' personal belongings lie scattered, as if their owners might return at any moment. Their preservation approach allows Bodhi's true crime history to remain intact, so that visitors can walk through the town and feel the tension that once permeated every street. Arrested decay doesn't just preserve Bodhi's buildings, it preserves the essence of the town itself, a place where violence and crime were everyday realities. This method of preservation ensures that Bodhi's history is not sanitized or romanticized, but presented as it was, raw, gritty, and unforgiving. By maintaining Bodhi in its original state, the park offers a powerful experience that goes beyond mere historical education. allowing visitors to confront the darker aspects of the American West in a setting that feels both authentic and unnervingly real. Excuse me. Bodie's buildings aren't just architectural remnants. They're the sites of countless crimes, altercation, and unsolved mysteries. Take the Bodie Jail, for instance. This small but formidable structure housed some of the most dangerous criminals in the West. Unlike modern jails, which are designed for rehabilitation, Bodie's Jail was a holding pen for those awaiting judgment, whether by law or by vigilante justice. There are stories of prisoners who were dragged from their cells by mobs, their fate sealed not by a jury, but by the anger of townspeople who had grown tired of waiting for justice. The Wheaton and Hollis Hotel was once a hub for the town's more nefarious activities. Known for its gambling and drinking, the hotel was also rumored to be a place where shady deals were made, and where guests sometimes checked in, never to be seen again. Some say the hotel was haunted by those who met untimely ends within its walls, their spirits lingering to seek revenge on those who wronged them. Today, the hotel stands empty, its rooms filled with echoes of a past that refuses to rest. Saloons like the Boone Store and Warehouse were hotbeds of crime and violence. On any given night, these establishments would be packed with miners, drifters, and outlaws, all seeking to escape the harsh realities of their lives. Fights over card games were common, and cheating was a surefire way to get yourself shot. Many of Bodie's saloons still bear the marks of these encounters. Bullet holes in the walls and broken furniture scattered about, the saloons weren't just places to drink. They were arenas where grudges were settled and scores were evened. Bodie's Standard Mill was the heart of its mining operations, but it was also a place of danger and death. The mill's machinery, now rusted and silent, was once responsible for processing tons of gold ore. The conditions were brutal, with workers often risking their lives to keep the operation running. Accidents were common, and some workers who perished in the mill were said to have been buried in unmarked graves to avoid bad publicity. The mill's artifacts, tools, ore carts, and machinery tell a story of hard labor and ruthless efficiency where lives were secondary to profit. The Bodie Bank, which was robbed multiple times, is another symbol of the town's violent history. Though the building itself was gutted by fire, the fireproof vault remains a silent witness to the attempts of criminals who sought to break in and steal the town's wealth. Inside the vault, records and ledgers offer a glimpse into the final transactions that fueled Bodie's economy, but they also hint at the greed that ultimately led to its downfall. Every building, every artifact in Bodie is a piece of a puzzle that tells the story of a town where crime was as much a part of a life as the search for gold. For many residents, daily life in Bodie was a precarious balance between survival and danger. While families tried to maintain a sense of normalcy, they did so in a town where violence was as common as dust on the streets. Bodie had nearly 30 saloons, each one a magnet for trouble. These saloons weren't just places to drink. They were where miners, gamblers, and drifters gathered, often leading to explosive confrontations. Arguments over card games or accusations of cheating quickly turned deadly, with bar fights escalating into shootouts that left bodies on the floor. The town's brothels were another source of tension. While they provided a much-needed escape for the miners, they were also a place of rivalry and jealousy. Fights between clients and workers, as well as between the workers themselves, were common. The brothels were notorious for attracting some of the roughest characters in Bodie, and the violence that erupted within the walls often spilled out into the streets. For women who worked there, life was a constant struggle for survival, as they navigated a world filled with exploitation and danger. Children growing up in Bodie were exposed to a world of violence from an early age. Despite efforts to establish a sense of community with schools and churches, Bodie's reputation as a violent town cast a long shadow. Children learned to avoid certain places and to keep their heads down, knowing that trouble could break out at any moment. The town's isolation and lack of law enforcement meant that there was little protection for the innocent. Families often had to fend for themselves. For many children, their earliest memories would have been of gunshots ringing out in the night, and of men carrying their wounded comrades home from the saloons. Bodie was a place where survival required a tough mindset, and where compassion was often a luxury that people couldn't afford. The harsh conditions, combined with the constant threat of violence, meant that residents had to be prepared for anything. In a town where justice was rarely served, people learned to take matters into their own hands. This was the reality of daily life in Bodie, a world where violence was part of the fabric of society, where the pursuit of gold often left humanity by the wayside. Bodie's violent past has given rise to numerous legends, the most famous of which is the Bodie Curse. According to local lore, anyone who takes an artifact from Bodhi, no matter how small, will be cursed with misfortune until the item is returned. This curse is believed to be tied to the spirits of those who died violently in the town, their souls unable to rest. Over the years, Bodhi State Historic Park has received countless letters from visitors who took something from the town and later regretted it. These letters often describe tragic events, accidents, illnesses, and even deaths that people attribute to the curse. One particularly chilling story involves a couple who took a small rock from Bodhi as a souvenir. Soon after, they began experiencing a series of unfortunate events, including a car accident and financial troubles. Desperate to break the curse, they mailed the rock back to the park, along with a letter apologizing for their theft. Similar stories abound, with some people returning items decades later, hoping to lift the curse that they believe has haunted them for years. The park keeps these returned items and letters on display, a testament to the fear and respect that the Bodhi curse inspires. In addition to the curse, Bodhi is said to be haunted by the ghosts of those who met tragic ends. There are reports of a miner's ghost seen wandering near the Standard Mill, as well as sightings of a woman in a long dress who appears near the church. Some visitors claim to have heard the faint sounds of a piano playing in the long-abandoned saloons, or the laughter of children near the schoolhouse. Paranormal investigators have visited Bodhi over the years, capturing strange sounds, inexplicable temperature drops, fueling speculation that the town is one of the most haunted places in America. Bodhi's legends add an otherworldly dimension to its already dark history. For those who believe in the supernatural, Bodhi is a place where the past is never truly gone, and where the spirits of the dead may still walk the streets. Whether it's the curse, the ghosts, or the stories of unsolved murders, Bodhi's myths serve as a reminder that this town's violent past has left a mark that time alone cannot erase. Bodhi's isolation played a significant role in shaping its lawless nature. Located more than 8,000 feet above sea level in the Sierra Nevada mountains, Bodhi was often cut off from the outside world, especially during the harsh winter months. The town was subject to extreme weather, with temperatures dropping well below freezing in winter and soaring into the 90s during the summer. Snowstorms could last for days, and when the winds howled through Bodhi's streets, they carried with them a chill that seemed to seep into the very bones of the town. The rugged landscape surrounding Bodhi offered both protection and peril. On one hand, the town's remote location made it difficult for law enforcement to reach, allowing crime to flourish unchecked. Bodhi became a haven for outlaws who knew that they could hide in the mountains, disappear into the wilderness if things went south. On the other hand, the isolation also meant that supplies were limited, and residents had to rely on themselves and each other to survive. The environment bred a tough, self-sufficient community, but it also created a sense of desperation that fueled the town's violent reputation. In summer, the high-altitude sun beat down relentlessly, and the dry air was often thick with dust kicked up by passing wagons and horses. The constant dust storms made life in Bodhi even more difficult, as visibility could drop to near zero, and breathing became a challenge. These harsh conditions only added to the tension that permeated the town, as tempers flared and patience wore thin. In winter, heavy snowfall could trap residents for weeks on end, cutting off supply lines and forcing people to ration their food and fuel. It was not uncommon for people to freeze to death or starve during particular harsh winters. Some stories suggest that cannibalism may have occurred during desperate times. Today, the journey to Bodhi still reflects the town's isolation. Visitors must travel along miles of rough, unpaved road to reach the ghost town, a trek that adds to the sense of stepping back in time. The landscape that once made Bodhi a haven for criminals now serves to protect its history, keeping it relatively untouched by modern development. The vast, empty hills and stark mountain views create an eerie backdrop for a town that seems frozen in time, as if waiting for the next chapter of its story to unfold. Bodhi's environment wasn't just a backdrop to its history, it was a driving force that shaped the lives and actions of its residents, contributing to the town's reputation as a place of danger and mystery. Bodhi stands in stark contrast to other ghost towns in the United States. While many towns have been restored or even reconstructed for tourism, Bodhi remains as it was found, with a preservation philosophy that emphasizes authenticity over comfort. Unlike places that present the Old West as a romanticized adventure, Bodhi offers an unfiltered look at the violence, greed, and hardship that define life on the frontier. Here, there are no stage gunfights or costume reenactors. Instead, you're met with the stark reality of a town where crime was part of the daily routine. Many ghost towns have been transformed into sanitized attractions where history has been polished and smoothed over for public consumption. Bodie, however, makes no attempt to hide its dark past. The town's commitment to preserving its true crime elements set it apart from other historical sites. Bodie isn't a place for lighthearted exploration. It's a place where visitors come face to face with the darker side of the American dream. Its raw and unpolished nature make it a destination for those who want to experience history as it was, not as we might wish it to be. Bodie's extensive collection of original artifacts, combined with its well-preserved buildings, make it a unique time capsule of the Old West. While other ghost towns may offer glimpses into frontier life, Bodie provides a full, immersive experience where you can walk through the same streets and touch the same walls as the miners, outlaws, and townsfolk who once called this place home. It's a place that invites reflection, challenging visitors to consider the human cost of gold fever, the brutal reality of life in a town where survival was a constant struggle. Bodie is a ghost town like no other, a place where the past feels dangerously close, and where every building, artifact, and legend tells a story of greed, violence, and survival. If you're drawn to true crime and tales of the Wild West, Bodie offers a rare chance to step into a world where the search for fortune often led to darker outcomes. As we wrap up our journey through Bodie, remember to subscribe and join us next week as we explore another infamous ghost town, Pripyat, the city left behind after the Chernobyl disaster. In Pripyat, we'll uncover a different kind of ghost story, one defined by tragedy, survival, and the haunting legacy of nuclear fallout. Till then, stay curious and keep exploring the hidden corners of history. Now give us your thoughts in the comment section below. Have you been to Bodie? If you have, let me know what your experience was like there. And do you believe it's haunted? And also, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. Your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring new hosts, and be able to take this show on the road. We'd love to be able to feature live episodes from crime scenes around the country or world, and even do live episodes from ghost towns like Bodie. Your support can help make that happen. Every dollar you give goes right back into the channel and helps us get us even one step better. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. I'll see you next time.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery. Not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/True Crime Never Sleeps.